for tomorrow. We thank you that it's going to be the greatest giving day ever for Love Never Fails International. And that, Lord, I just pray for thousands and thousands of dollars to come in for the charity. And Lord, we just also pray tonight, especially, Lord, for Harley. Just be there with him in the hospital, and he and Georgine, and just bring healing to his body, refresh him, renew him. The same thing with Gary Weiner, Lord, his wife, Hazel, just lifting them both up tonight, and just to heal their bodies, and especially take away the oppression from them, Father. And for Ronald Arms and Wynette, just all the things that's happened this week, and just touch their bodies as well. And we pray for protection, Lord, for our youth as they leave Friday through Sunday for their camping trip, and be with them in such a mighty way, and be with us now tonight. Lord, help me to teach your word faithfully and accurately, O God, as we start the book of Joshua. So we love you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua tonight, the first of the 12 historical books. And it opens up with Joshua. Of course, Joshua through Esther are the historical books of the Bible. And we're going to be, of course, in chapter 1, a great study. Tonight we're going to talk about the theme of Joshua, which is actually possession. So it's a time to possess. It's a time for the children of Israel now to enter the good land that God is giving them and to conquer it as well. So the theme again of Joshua is that of possession. And they have to take what God has given unto them, and so do we. Amen? We do that by faith. Joshua says this in Joshua 11:23. It says, so Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord God had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions and tribes. And then it says, the land rested from war. They're going into Canaan. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, say, well, Canaan land is a time of bliss and rest and so forth. No, Canaan is not a type of heaven. Amen? No, Canaan, when you take the land, the Bible, Jesus said the violent take it by force. And you have to go in, and it's, there's war there. There's no war in heaven. So the children of Israel, they're going to possess the land, but they have to take it just like we do. And that is by faith in what God has promised. And so Israel's ownership of the land, God says, I'm going to give it to you. And God has given it to them. However, that is unconditional. It's an unconditional, everlasting promise. However, Israel's possession of the land is conditional. They have to go and do what God says. They have to take it. They have to appropriate it by faith. And everything that God has given unto us, we appropriate by faith. He has already given us so many things, all of our spiritual blessings. So remember that Joshua, his name, he's a type of Christ, if you will, the type of our Lord Jesus. His name means Jehovah is salvation. And if you, the equivalent in the Greek would be the name of our Savior, Jesus. So Joshua here, we're going to find he's going to conquer all of our, all the earthly enemies. And we know that Jesus, our Yeshua, our Savior, he's conquered all of the enemies against us as well. Hell, sin, and death, and the devil. Now, again, we appropriate by faith here the introduction, a little lengthy introduction before we begin in verse 1. We appropriate by faith by what God has already given unto us. Listen to what Joshua says in chapter 18 about the possession of the land. It says in Joshua 18:3, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go, and there's that word, possess. Talking, that's the key word in the book of Joshua. Possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you. Now listen carefully tonight. You know, we know what happened to Israel, but we need to ask ourselves the same exact question. How long will we neglect to possess all that our Savior has given unto us? Amen. Oh, I don't want to miss out on anything, and I know you don't either. You know, Alan Redpath said this, a great man of God who's gone home to be with the Lord. He said, there seems to be a very wide gulf between what we believe and how we live, a marked contrast between our position in Christ and our experience. I want to be able to experience all that Jesus has given unto us. Don't you? Everything. You know, and how do we do that? The Bible tells us that Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 1. He told us, he said, I beseech you, brethren, to walk worthy of your calling. Remember the word worthy there in the Greek word. It means like a set of weights, and the scales are balanced on each side. So to walk worthy means to be equal in doctrine and equal in application. You hear the word of God, then you do the word of God. That's what this the whole book of Joshua is about. You know, and today in the 21st century, you know, Daryl just gave me a poll or whatever of what's going on in the churches, and I was just reading it about what they're believing today. And I'm going, how few believers today are really taking the word of God literally and believing it. It's crazy the things that are happening, in especially in America. Listen, the church of the 21st century, we know so much, but we do so little. I don't want to be like that. And I look at this great book of Joshua, and you know, spiritual maturity. Remember that spiritual maturity is not based on what we know, but it's based on what we do, isn't it? Amen? To be doers of the word of God. Now listen very carefully. God did not call us, the body of Christ, to fail. Do you believe that? Is there anything out here in our society today, or even in the time of Joshua, that's bigger than God? Huh? Are you guys awake tonight? I've been out of the pulpit for just a few weeks, and a few weeks, hallelujah. I mean, I wish that was the case. No. Just a few times, and have you forgotten that God is still alive? No. Listen, we are not called to fail. Now, let's begin looking at the time to possess here, beginning in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The death of Moses, connects us back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, just a page back, where Moses dies there on Mount Nebo and God buries him. It says, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is what? He's dead. Now therefore, speaking to Joshua, he says, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Now here's something that, you know, I know you don't see this, but do you see the lonely heart of Joshua? You say, Bill, that's not in the text. Oh, I promise you it really is. You know, listen, leadership is the loneliest place in the church, believe me. It is the loneliest of all places. And here Moses is dead, the man who spoke face to face with God. And did you notice that Joshua just didn't jump out and say, hey, I'm the leader now. He was probably hiding someplace, okay? That's what I would have been. I mean, think, you know, God, Moses is gone, and now I know that I've been, you know, the next leader to lead the children of Israel. And so all the way back in Numbers 27, that's when Joshua was, you know, inaugurated and chosen to be the leader after Moses' death. And now that day has finally arrived. Let me say something about new leaders when they take over from the old leaders. You know what they don't need? They don't need advice. You ever notice that when a new person takes over, let me tell you how we used to do it. Or let me tell you what I think should be done. Or can I have I'm going to take you to lunch and explain what I think. You understand? Well, if you've been in the ministry as long as I have, I've heard it all, you know. But a new leader doesn't need advice. You know what he needs? He needs encouragement. The whole, because he knows what he's facing. He feels the weight of the responsibility that's upon his shoulders. You know, and the thing is that did man call Joshua? No. God's the one who does the calling. God's the one who does the calling. And God called him. God has called us. You know, I was in Houston Monday for Lubner Fails International and had a tremendous meeting down there. It was just wonderful with a school district there. They want, well, matter of fact, we just received an email today that they want us, LNFI, our after-school program in Houston. Isn't that great? So, yes, and so, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, but we haven't made that decision to go, but I feel sure that if I pressure everyone enough, we will be there, okay? So while I was there, this wonderful woman, her name was Tanya, she was talking, she came and started talking to me about the seven pastors in her area. And that seven of the pastors in her local area had retired and they didn't have a replacement. Boy, that is a tragic thing, isn't it? I mean, for a church, you know, not to have an exit strategy and so forth. You know, we have an exit strategy here. And one day, I don't know when it's going to be, next week maybe, next year, who knows, only God knows. You know, he may say to me tomorrow, Bill, you are boring and you are through. You know, especially after this pink hair incident tomorrow, I don't know. So the thing is that one day, a new pastor is going to take this pulpit. And he will be called by God. And here's my prayer to you. Please encourage him. Please pray for him. Please support him as he builds on our past to take you into the future. Amen. All, you know, things change. You know, the music changes and you know, whatever, and all, but the Word of God never changes. And that's what this church is built on, is God's Word. Amen? So here we find Joshua. Oh, and does he have some huge shoes to fill? And God says to him, Joshua, my servant, what a title, my servant Moses is dead. Did you know that that title, that special title, my servant, is almost exclusively in the Old Testament given to Moses? Think about that. Do you know that it, here when we opened, it said, he spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. It's going to be all the way to the very last chapter, chapter 24, verse, I think, 29, and only after the death of Joshua at the age of 110, does God call him my servant? There's a lot of things that he has to grow into. Amen. Did you know that we all grow like that? That, you know, people that take the pulpit, maybe they're young and so forth. Do you know it's hard, going into the ministry, really? I mean, in a way, thinking that, you know, you're young, you have all this on you, and you make mistakes, you say things you shouldn't say in the pulpit, and every pastor has done that. Amen? I've done it. That's the way we grow. So pray for the pastors. Amen? Now, with all that being said here, we look at this, and the thing is it's not about the servant. It's about the master of the servant. And that is our Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to look at the end of verse 2 again. It says there, you cross over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. No one on this planet can question God's right to give Canaan to the children of Israel. And yet, it's questioned all the time. You know, it's funny how man, our governments, think they own part of the earth or the earth. They don't own the earth. It's even amazes me more that the devil, Satan himself, the god of this age, the deceiver, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he thinks he owns the earth. But he doesn't. There's only one that owns the earth. Amen? It says in Psalm 24, 1, David writes this. He says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. All man belong to God. Whether they believe in God or not, whether they believe in Christ or not, they all belong to God. Amen? God is sovereign. And look out here at this world that God owns. Would you say this? We are living in a troubled world. You know, here we are declaring war against ISIS, and boy, do we need to be praying. We need to be praying that boiling pot of the Middle East doesn't spew into a World War III. Not that I'm trying to be depressing tonight, but I'll tell you, if you're not praying for Middle East right now, shame on you. We need to be praying, and we need to be praying for America. We need to be praying for America's safety as these militant people try to come back from these areas that they've recruited from all parts of the world and come back into our nation, how we need to be in prayer and be wise and listen to the Holy Spirit and so forth. But you know what? This troubled world that we live in, I don't know why God doesn't say, you know what? It's time. But it's the goodness of God, isn't it? That long-suffering of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some can count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God that it's not over yet. Now, with all that being said, look how the Lord encourages his new leader. He says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, or literally will march upon. Look what God says in the past tense. I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. When will Israel finally and fully possess the land of Israel? When will it really be theirs again? At the second coming, amen? It's good that we know that. But listen, open our ears tonight to the God, our God, who cannot lie. He spoke in the past tense. He said, Joshua, I have given you. In other words, you already, the children of Israel, you already possess the title deed, if you will, or the legal title to the land. God gave Israel, according to the verse 3 there that I just read, 300,000 square miles of land. You know how much they possessed? We'll find out. About 30,000 square miles. So that's about one-tenth of their possession. You know, I don't want to walk in one-tenth of all that God has given me. Do you? I don't want to be cheated like that. And I look and I said, oh, Lord, you know what? Every blessing that we have, every spiritual blessing we have has already been given to us in Christ. And the only way that we can take what belongs to us is, number one, know it, and number two, believe it and appropriate it by faith. Amen? So, you know, remember there's two churches left on earth, Laodicea, the church that's going to go through the great tribulation period, according to the book of Revelation, and then the faithful church, that of Philadelphia. Do you remember the promise, and I believe we are the church of Philadelphia, do you remember the promise that Jesus gave to the church of Philadelphia? Let me read it to you from Revelation 3:8. Jesus said this, I know your works. He says, Jesus said, see, I've set before you an open door. Say that with me, open door. And no one can shut it. No one on earth has power to shut the door that Jesus opens. For you have a little strength. In other words, the church, you know, you're weak enough to be used by God. You've kept my word. In other words, we're to be doers, not doers of God's words, just not hearers only. And have not denied my name. Not denied the name of the Lord, no matter what the cost. Jesus says the same thing that God is saying to Joshua. Jesus said, I've given you. I've given you the incredible gift. I have given you an open door, and no power on earth can shut it. You know, today as I was visiting the LNFI after school programs and so forth and looking, I looked over the I Am Terrell area and the area that we're going into, the church is going into. And I said, it's just not that big. Do you understand? We're not taking a city. We're not taking a county. We're not taking a state. We're taking a little small dinky nothing. And all I hear from leaders and everyone, oh, it's too big. It's a giant. There are no giants. Amen. And there's not any giants in your life unless you make them giants. There's no one bigger than our God. There's no one mightier than our Savior. Amen. And I say, Lord, I looked out at it, and as I looked out today, because you can see it from the freeway and you look down upon it, and I said, it's just nothing. It's nothing. All we have to do is march on it. Wherever we set our foot and say, you know what? We are taking this place. We're taking it back from the devil. Amen. We're going to see people being set free. And I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. You see, when God opens a door to the faithful church, those who believe his word, the open door means a time of opportunity, a time of ministry, a time to go out. And that's what the Lord is telling Joshua here. You remember about this open door in Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 14:27. It says, and when they had come and gathered together the church and reported all that God had done with them, and here it is, that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Jesus has opened a door for us that no man can shut. But there's only one way to walk through that door. In your personal life, in your ministry, or whatever. And that is always by faith. How many doors have you missed in your life? How many doors have I missed? Boy, I don't want to miss any more doors. And I say, oh Lord, you know, I've learned something in my short life. You know, stop trying to go through closed doors. You know, if you can't get in, you can't get in. I'm not going to pry that door open. I'm going to find an open door. And I'm going, wow, Lord, thank you. It's open. I can walk right through it. Amen? So I look and I say, God, you're so good. You know, when we study out the book of Joshua, it's almost like hearing the vision statement for Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. You know, where we believe that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church where love never fails. Amen? This is exactly what the book of Joshua is all about. Now look at verse 5. God says to Joshua, you're talking about encouragement. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you some of the days of your life. Oh, all of the days of your life. Watch this now. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you. I will not, that word really is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God says, I will never walk out on my promises. I've had a lot of people make a lot of promises to me, haven't you? And they didn't keep them all. But God says, you don't have to worry about me. Every promise that I make, I will keep. Oh, we serve such a faithful God. And you know what? Do we have the same promise? The same promises? Well, God says, how about Matthew 1:23? It says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, we have the same promise. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. And one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 13:5-6, especially from the Amplified Bible, where it says, he himself, meaning God, will never forsake you, will never leave you without support. He goes on and says, I will not ever relax my hold upon you, so that you may be boldly say that I will not be terrified. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For the Lord is my helper. Amen. The Lord is my helper. We have the exact same promises. And listen, loved one, it says there, no man will stand before you all the days of your life. Man, that's the continuous his entire life. Listen, if God be for us, his church, his sons and his daughters, who can be against us? No one. We need to rise up in faith and know the word of God and believe the word of God tonight, no matter what we see. Joshua is going to fight, and you might correct me on this, if I remember, at least 30 military engagements. Think about that. He's got a war in front of him, and we have a war in front of us. Every day we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Now, so here it goes in verse 6, and look what God tells him. Joshua says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, don't even deviate from it slightly, for that you may prosper wherever you what? Wherever you go. Isn't it amazing that God commands Joshua? He says, Joshua, I'm commanding you now. I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. Why? Because, you know, cowards don't possess what God has given them. Did you know that? The fearful, the unbelieving, they don't possess what God is giving them. You got to believe the word of God, no matter what you're facing in your life, no matter what circumstance comes into your life. And those who God commands, he enables. Now look at where Joshua is to seek and to get his courage and his strength. Look at verse 8. Here it comes. And this book of the law, meaning Genesis through Deuteronomy, okay, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The word meditate, remember, it really means to mutter. You know, my grandmother, or to read aloud. My grandmother always read aloud. She had you remember the magnifying glasses that you would hold in your hand? Y'all, anybody out there remember that? Yeah, you know, my grandmother had kind of like cataracts and she couldn't see very well, and she would get it was huge, and she had a handle on it, and she would read, and when she read always out loud. Well, that's what it means to meditate. It means to mutter, to speak it out loud. That's why the connection there, look what the connection, see in verse 8 it says, shall not depart from your mouth. See, because speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Meditate upon the word of God. He says, and as you do that, he says, make sure that you observe or literally do or put into practice, act upon to do according to all that is written in it. Then, and may I say, and only then, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So what was going to guide Joshua into taking and possessing the land? It was the divine wisdom and the word of God. It wasn't human logic and all the rest of it. I mean, can you imagine somebody telling us tonight, I want you to march around this crummy car wash area right there, you know, in the burger box and all that, where they don't ever cut their weeds, and they, you know what I'm talking about. So just march around it six times, and then the seventh time we're going to blow a trunk and yell, and it's, you know, then it's going to be ours. We would go, that's silly. Well, that's the way God does things, isn't it? God is a supernatural God. His ways are not our ways. You know, we're always trying to figure everything out. God, he says, no, just do what I say. So he says in verse 9, have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong, be courage, don't be afraid, nor dismayed. In other words, don't fall apart. Don't be beaten down. Don't be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I have found that the people that God really uses in this world are those who know that they're not strong. You know what I mean? That's why God says, be strong. That means that Joshua is going, listen, I know that I'm weak. I know that I'm frail. I know that I don't have it all together. I'm aware of my limitations. Isn't it wonderful that God says, I don't want you to look at yourself. I just want you to look at me. You know, we don't have to be a superstar, amen? No, we just have to be what God says. You know, Warren Wiersbe said this, you can never be too small for God to use, only too big. That's a true word. You know, God is not looking for ability. You know, there's nothing wrong with pursuing your doctorate, you know, in divinity and our masters of divinity and those things and in seminary and studying and showing yourself approved unto God. As we all should do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. That doesn't make you a superstar, does it? No. The fact of the matter is God's not looking for ability. I mean, remember Balaam's donkey? Okay, so he's looking for availability. He's looking for someone who'll just rise up, you know, and he's looking for a church that'll just say this, it's not by power, it's not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Where God says, I'll empower you. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? He says that I can do all things. All things. I'm equal to anything through Christ who strengthens me. That word is continuous there in the Greek. So it's who strengthens me minute by minute and hour by hour and day by day. Did you know that you right now possess that strength if you're a believer? How do you live that then? Well, there's only one way. You have to believe it. You have to appropriate it by faith. You have to say, I really can do all things, no matter what it is. Lord, whatever you've called me to do, I can't do it in my own strength, but I have the strength of Christ. Amen? And we possess it right now. And oh, how we need to do that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is not from ourselves, it's from God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of ourselves. We are not the source of our resources. How wonderful to know to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And you know, I had somebody say to me the other day, or actually at this meeting, privately they asked me a question. I said, how in the world did you ever start this charity? I said, I don't have a clue. They said, what do you mean? I said, I have no clue, man. I said, I don't know anything about a charity. I don't know anything about any of it all. I just try to listen to what God says, and I figure he's the one who is his charity, right? So let run it. Here I am. Just use me. Use the people that work here. Dear Lord, God is so good. You know, Joshua, be strong because you're not strong, but be strong in me. And that's the kind of people that God is looking for. And when you look here in verse 10, look at the leader now. God's encouraged him, and then look, Joshua says, he commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the camp and command the people saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into what? Possess. That's the key word throughout Joshua. To possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So he says, prepare food. Now, we know that the manna was still falling, and when they cross over the Jordan, remember, the manna is going to cease. So they're together and prepare food, because in 3 days, they're going to prepare to cross over. You know, listen, I just said, don't prepare food. You better build a boat, because you got to get across the river. But what I love about Joshua is he just obeyed the Lord. He didn't second guess God. He didn't say, how are we going to get across? He didn't do any of those things. What did he do? He formed a committee and asked the committee what they should do. No, he waited on God. Amen? And that's what everyone in this church should be doing, is waiting on the Lord. Lord, speak to me because your servant hears, and so forth. Listen to the faith of Joshua as he commands his officers. He says there, look, you will cross over. He didn't have a doubt now. God's encouraged him. You will possess the land. You know, I want you to get a picture of this as we move through Joshua. Think about this now. Who are the two oldest people out of every one of the children of Israel? There's only two. Who are they? Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two, remember, that actually came out of Egypt and are there. This is the second generation and so forth. So here they are. They're old. Not old yet. Well, they're getting pretty old, like Daryl and a few of the others tonight, you know. Just a little humor, brother. Now, and look what happened here. It says, and then to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, what's that word? Remember. Remember the word, guys, which the Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Now, your wives, your little ones, your livestock, they're going to remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. See, they haven't crossed over yet. That land belongs to them. That's what they wanted. And he says, they've also have taken possession of the land which the Lord God is giving you. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and, look at this, enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, you'll hear that phrase, the Lord's servant, Moses, oh, the servant of the Lord, over and over again in Joshua, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. You remember all the way back in Numbers chapter 32, the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, as they were traveling, they looked at this land, right here's instead of crossing the Jordan, they were looking at this beautiful land, and even though it was still the wilderness, and they said, man, this is great land. It looks great for their livestock, because they had a lot of livestock. Matter of fact, let me just read it to you from Numbers 32:1. Now the children of Reuben and Gad, they had a very great multitude of livestock, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, indeed the region was a place for livestock. They were guided by their eyes. They hadn't even crossed over into their possession yet. And, you know, what so troubles me is Canaan was God's best for Gad and the Reubenites and half the tribe of Manasseh. But they looked out there and they said, man, look at all this, the trees, the valleys, all that they have. It's a perfect place for our cattle because they had so many cattle and so forth. But what's so sad is that they stopped short of God's absolute best for them. We do the same sometimes. Oh, that is so sad. And we settle for less. We say, oh, this is good enough for me. And God says, but it wasn't what I had planned for you. See, they didn't appropriate it by faith. They walked by sight. See, they saw it and they said, this is what I want. They didn't even go by faith at all. And you know, when we look at all of this, and you remember, I told you when we were in Numbers 32, but they took that land. But remember, who was the first of the tribes to fall to the Assyrians? They were. And by the time Jesus arrives there in the New Testament into the land of Gad, remember the Gadarene demoniac and all that in Mark chapter 5, I believe it is. Remember, what were they? They were in the pig business, you know? And so talking about going downhill. So in verse 16, so they answered Joshua saying this, Joshua, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. So they said, they assured Joshua of their complete obedience to him. And just as we heeded Moses in all things, we will also heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command, does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. I don't want to be like the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. Again, they were content, they're going to go across and fight with the rest of them. But the fact is, they weren't even searching out or wanting to search out the things that God had for them. You know, they're what some people call borderline believers. They're right there on the border, you know, and they separate themselves. They live on one side and while the others move on and do the rest and so forth. And even though that they fight with Israel, they're going to return. They're going to go back to the other side of the Jordan, which is the area of the wilderness. And they were so close to their God-given possession, but they never claimed it. If we don't walk through the doors today that God has given us, we're going to be content to just sit sour and soak and never move forward. Say, oh, Bill, there's no reason to do this or no reason to do that. You know, the building is paid for. There's money in the bank. And, oh, you know, we're content. Let's just keep everything. No, that's not what God wants us to do. You know, let's make a quick application while we have time. Turn in your Bible about our possession to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in the New Testament. And let's just quickly look at something. We won't be much longer. I want you to look at verse 3 of Paul's letter to this church here at Ephesus. He says this in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," what? "Blessed us." Do you believe that God's blessed you? Has is past tense, meaning it is a fact. It's a present reality. It says has blessed us with what? Every. Say that word. Every. Now here's the question. Are you going to possess every one of them or not? Am I going to do it? Are we at Calvary Chapel? Are we going to do that? It says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and look who it's in Christ Jesus. Listen, of the 21st century church, we have been pronounced blessed by God our Father, and God cannot lie. So obviously we're blessed. But our resources, they're just not promised here. God says they're already your possession. You already have all of this. And that tells me something. If I have been blessed with, it didn't say a few, it said with all, every spiritual blessing. Now listen, that means that they're mine. That means that they're yours. Amen? Are y'all with me tonight? Is there a movie on or something later? I mean, are y'all consumed with anything? Listen, we're not going to get any more than we already have. If God has already given us every spiritual blessing, there's not any more to be had. Is that correct? Well, then, I mean, you know, and you know that you're guilty of this. I've been guilty of this, not lately, but you have, but not me. You know, I've heard Christians, we've always said, I just need more love. Well, you're not going to get any more love. Well, I need more love to love people. No. What does it say in Romans 5:5? That God has poured out into our hearts what? The love of God has been poured out of our hearts, lavishly poured out by the Holy Spirit, this which has been given unto us. We have all of the love of God that we're ever going to get. Do you know that? Well, I need more love. No, you need to believe you have it. I had somebody talk to me, I just don't have any love in my heart, God's love in my heart. I said, well, then you don't believe the Bible. Well, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry, you know, sister, brother, you don't know now who it is. I said, the fact of the matter is, I said, you have all the love of God you're ever going to get. It's already been poured out into your heart. Already. It's right there. All you have to do now is let it out. You know, well, I don't have any peace. Well, who told you didn't have any peace? You're not going to get any more peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I've given unto thee. Amen? Yeah, but I have all this fear. Well, you didn't get that from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now, the question is, do we really believe that? You see, that's how we possess our possessions. That's how we move in and say, Lord, I don't care what I'm seeing. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I'm not in denial of my circumstances. I know that my bank book is empty. I know that my marriage is in trouble. I know that my kids are a bunch of morons. I understand all of this. You know, they're driving me crazy. And Lord, I know what I'm facing in my life. But you said in your word that every spiritual blessing has been given unto me, and the only way I can appropriate it and take it and possess it is by faith. Amen. There is absolutely no other way. It says in 1 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's not anything else to receive. It's the only thing we can do is go out and take it by force and say, Lord, I believe it. We either lay hold of it or we don't lay hold of it. You see, Joshua was given the land. You have the title deed. It is totally yours. But do you know what? Did they have to go fight for it? Did they have to go take it? Yes. And that's what we have to do as well. It says in Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot you tread upon, I have given you. There are days when I say to myself, I look at things that I'm facing, say, you know, church, Love Never Fails International, whatever it might be. And I say, I don't know what to do and I don't know where it's going to come from. But Lord, your word says in 1 Corinthians 3:21 that all things are yours. And that you, of course, are the supplier of our every need. And I look to you completely. I look to you totally. And I'm expectant. And I believe that the answer is on the way. I believe that your healing is on the way. I believe that victory, I already possess it. It's just not manifested in the natural from the supernatural yet. Lord, I believe it by faith. I appropriate by faith. You know, I hear people, you know, I was listening to Pastor Thomas when he preached a message about tarrying in Jerusalem. You know, he said, you don't have to tarry. And you know what? He was right. Matter of fact, you'd have to go all the way to Jerusalem if you wanted to do any tarrying, okay? In other words, to be endued with power upon high. You don't have to tarry. It belongs to you. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit each and every day of your life. Over and over again. That doesn't mean we're not going to have sad days. I have sad days just like you do. But you know what? That doesn't change the Word of God. I have blue Mondays. You know what blue Mondays? You know, remember Bobby Vinton? I think that was Bobby Vinton. Roy Orbison? It doesn't really matter. Probably Willie Nelson. But that doesn't change the Word of God. I'm down in the dumps. It doesn't change the Word of God. It doesn't change the promises of God. You know, we already have it, but it's time to possess it. The Bible says that we're in Ephesians 2:6 that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is right this minute. In the eyes of God, that is where we are seated. You can't change that position. Amen? You know, I want to tell you something. Now listen to me. When we go, you know, I'm just now starting to finally be able to look at that little piece of land over there called the I Am Terrell area, the worst part of Fort Worth, because I haven't had all these other things that occurred. It is nothing. And I absolutely refuse to look at that with all of the emptiness I see and all the heartache I see and all the loneliness that I see and the fighting and the hatred toward one another. All the things that I see there and how people just want to contain it instead of changing it. I don't see a giant. I see a little speck of land with people on it, and I see the powers of darkness trembling. You know why? Because a church is going to rise up and they're saying, by faith, I can take the land. It is my possession. And those people that are in it are going to be touched. They're going to be some of them made whole. Some of them are going to be addictions no more and so forth. Why? Because of faithful people who see an open door. Amen. That's what it's all about. You say, well, Bill, we have to defeat the devil. I don't have to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. Why would I try to defeat someone who's already defeated and has been defeated? And I have overcome him because I'm in the one who overcome him. Amen? Well, I need wisdom. Well, James 1:5 says we don't have to beg for wisdom. He gives liberally. Oh, he says, I want to pour it out on you. Everything we need is there. And it's all found in Christ. We have everything we need. I think it's time as we go through the book of Joshua and we see them take their possession that we do the same thing. It is time as we approach 2015 to lay aside fear, to lay aside doubt and unbelief and all of those things. And let us not be content where we are in our spiritual walk. Let us not be content at all. And listen, let's cross over our Jordan and let's cross it over together. Listen to me. Don't be afraid to get your feet wet. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for that small little speck of land full of all the trouble over there and all the pain. Oh, Father, we're going to cross over our Jordan into an area that's filled with the enemy. Oh, and they are trembling and they are doing everything in their power to try to stop us, and it is not going to work. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for those that are present tonight. Lord God, that depression would literally completely fall from the minds of those that are depressed. And that, Lord God, the joy of the Lord would rise up and be their strength tonight. And that every marriage and every single person, whatever it might be, every need would be met in this place. And all, and that's even again tonight, for healing for Harley and healing for Gary. Lord, there's not anything, absolutely nothing too difficult for you. I ask you to bless your people. Touch your people. Revive us again, oh God. As we move into and walk into a newness of life, a fresh strengthening, a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord touching us, bringing healing to us, bringing healing to Pastor Thomas tonight who's ill, and touching his body, touching his mind. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We just praise you in this place, oh God. And we worship you tonight. Oh, there is none like you. You bless our rising up and our lying down. When we're in the field, when we're in the city, and as we slumber, you watch over us and you rejoice over us. And when you see us, oh Father, you see us complete in Christ. And you see our sins as far as the east is from the west. Oh God, I pray for those in the church who are making sin bigger than God. I pray for those in the church who say, who are saying that pornography is bigger than God. It can't be broken. It's a lie. I pray for those, oh God, that are saying there's no way, there's no door opening for me, that you would open a door for them. And it would open so wide, it would actually scare them. And Lord, there are those tonight, they've been so faithful in their prayer time, so faithful in their Bible study time, so faithful in their giving. I pray tonight, in this year of fruitfulness, that you would open the windows in heaven and that you would pour out a blessing upon them where they would shout out, oh God, I can't contain it. Close those windows up. Let the harvest of blessing fall upon us. Now we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the church says,